Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. And hey, thank you for tuning in to the Grace for This City podcast. I'm your host, Justin. Listen, we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you biblical strategies and motivation so you can get out there and do the stuff for your King, Jesus Christ. Now listen, if there's ever been a time to make right wrongs, that's what we mean by turning your city upside down. The enemy has twisted things, but you are advancing the kingdom and you are walking in and administering righteousness by the word of the Lord, and we are making right wrongs. And we want to encourage you, strengthen you, and give you strategies to where you can do that. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. By the way, I'm joined in the studio by a very special guest, one of my all-time favorites. Hallelujah. I love it when you're on the show, love. This is my beautiful wife. Miranda's on the show today.
Hey.
Hey. So, hey, this is your second time to be on the podcast, and yep. We're really excited about having you here.
Cool, thanks.
And by the way, everybody listening out there in podcast land, yesterday was her birthday.
My birthday.
July the 1st, very special day. Of course, we're going to do fireworks and everything in celebration of it.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I always get fireworks for my birthday. Yeah, how does that work out?
Isn't that amazing? And then, of course, we have an amazing daughter.
Yeah.
And her birthday is coming up soon.
Yeah, July 8th.
July the 8th. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a week of celebrations.
Celebrations.
Praise the Lord. Well, hey, we're so glad that you're on the podcast today, love.
Yeah.
And we know that the Lord has something very strategic, timely, that you are going to share with us. Of course, we're going to jump in here and talk quite a bit about prayer. And, of course, that's one of the things that Miranda specifically, the Lord has charged her, mandated her with, is the ministry of prayer. Of course, we're all called to pray. We are all called to pray. In fact, I want to read this scripture to you out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Now, listen up. It says, I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere. Listen, it is the desire of our King, of our head, the head of the body, Jesus Christ, that we would be vessels of prayer. It's not just something, we occasionally do. And if you tuned in to the podcast where we had Miranda on the podcast the first time several weeks ago, we said this, that we don't pray for the ministry. The ministry is prayer. Mm-hmm. And so we, with that perspective and biblical paradigm in place, we want to encourage you, give you some biblical strategies, motivation to where you can get down to business. And a lot of people are being scared into praying right now, and you don't need to be doing that. You don't need to be, pressed because circumstances are so crazy that God is, finally your last resort. You're going to turn to Him and throw up some sort of, what you call a prayer. You need to pray, but what you need to do is you get in the posture, the appropriate posture as a born-again believer, as a member of the body of Christ. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And ask the Holy Ghost right now how you get in your position and your posture in the body of Christ, which is prayer. You don't want to be AWOL right now, absent without leave. And there's a lot of believers right now that are AWOL. Where are you? What are you doing? And if you're not praying, I like what the late, great Leonard Ravenhill said. If you're not praying, you're playing.
Mm, that reminds me, last night, can I jump in here?
Jump in.
Last night in our prayer meeting, we have prayer on Wednesday nights, and we were getting after it, and we were praying for some people, and this just popped into my spirit. So we made it a prayer. It was, get off the sidelines. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go. We were doing that in the prayer. We're singing that over the people, that they wouldn't be sidelining right here in the best part of the game. When it's time for the the really, really tough plays.
Yeah. Now, I think that's the word of the Lord.
I thought so too. I was like, that's different, but we just flowed with it, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe you're feeling that in your spirit right now. It's just, man, where have I been? I'm ready to get in, you know, jump in, grab your helmet, grab your whatever football players wear, pads.
Your pads.
Your shoes, your uniform. Get your uniform on. You know, that's in Ephesians. Get your uniform on and get suited up for the game. Jump in. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to play. Hallelujah. Yeah.
That's really good. So they need to get off the sidelines.
Yeah.
And get in the game.
And the sidelines, you know, self-pity, depression, fear, just whatever the enemy can use to keep the body of Christ on the sidelines. Here's what's great about prayer that's different than football. There's not a set amount of players. I mean, he's using all people, shapes and sizes, ages, from babies to 100 and above. This is it's what's so cool about the time that we live in. And really, it's been this way for a long time. I think the body's just now, maybe just now, catching on that it's not about just one man or one woman. We, you know, the Lord's used that, but it's about the body waking up, each part, the pinky, the toe, the hand, the eyeball, the heart, the bladder, you know, all of the parts, the seen parts and the unseen parts, knowing that their part is just as important as every other part, and not letting something like, you know, self-pity or fear or embarrassment or shame or guilt or whatever hold them back from getting right in the middle of things and stepping up to their part.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to jump into this. Of course, we've already jumped in.
Yeah, I think we did. We jumped in.
So we want to encourage you to get off the sidelines. Now is not a time to be totally just, you know, in la-la land. And I know it feels like, you know, you don't really want to face what's going on. But listen, you are what is needed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, listen, ultimately, the kingdom is to be advanced. And there are those that don't want to have anything to do with God's kingdom, God's dominion, or God's rule. And Jude tells us that we're going to have to make a distinction. Some will simply refuse. They're already marked out. They've already made their decision. They are going to be enemies. But there are others. I think this will tie into what Miranda's going to jump into here. But there are others, though, that are literally caught in the middle. They're trapped. They're believing lies. There's a darkness. Listen, folks, there is great witchcraft being worked right now. There is the spirit of control and manipulation rampant right now. And we are going to have to get in our positions of prayer and begin to push back forces of darkness, so that in the natural, somebody like an evangelist, say, or just an obedient follower of Christ, can come in behind the prayers and plunder the house of the enemy. And so Miranda, let's jump right on into this. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah.
And just share with us what the Lord has put on your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you were saying about the witchcraft working, it works in different ways on different people. But what we had said before, keeping people sidelined, and whether that's just inferiority or shame or self-pity or distraction. And I think for me, that was kind of something that I was struggling with, was just being distracted by so many Martha duties, you know, just stuff you got to get done, not looking up above the to-do list to actually hear in the spirit what's going on, and then knowing how to check off the to-do list, but while you stay in the spirit, it's never ceasing to pray, praying always. So wherever situation that you're in, you're hearing the news, you're hearing what's going on in our nation, what's going on in our world, and you're seeing the acceleration of events as it has never been accelerated before. You're feeling the urgency in the spirit. You're sensing it. And then just like, what do I do? Where do I go? How do I get in the game? And so I think that's where the Lord, the Holy Spirit's going to take us this morning. How do you get in the game? How do you discover your part? How do you pray out your part? And the way that's been playing out for me, and it's going to be different for everybody. Some people are in seasons of quietness where they're able to just give large amounts of time to praying. And that's amazing. That's powerful. And that is necessary. And so if that's the season you're in, then just go for it. Jump in, get on your face, get your Bible, pray the scriptures, declare, intercede, travail, dance, hallelujah. The Lord's got you in that place for this time. Some people, I think most people are probably in seasons where you're still, you've got quite a to-do list. And, so, you know, people with kids, moms, stay-at-home moms, people with jobs, you know. And I think just a little side note here, the elderly years are so important right now. Now, the culture is saying something totally different because the culture is repeating the devil a lot of times. And it's saying you're done. And that's a lie. So if you're in your elderly season, absolutely not. This is your time to take the gifts, the prophecies, the impartations, the experiences, the battles that have been won already in your life, the victories that you've experienced, and use that experience, that wisdom, to help the body, to help push forward the kingdom, what's happening in this time, to work with God in prayer. Maybe you find yourself in a rocking chair. That's not a bad thing. I mean, that does not mean that you're retired.
Right.
You're not retired from the kingdom. You're not retired from spiritual warfare. In fact, just sitting in your rocking chair quietly praying in tongues, you don't know what kind of devils you have just knocked off their game. Hallelujah.
That's good.
I don't care if you're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120, whatever that is, we need you now more than ever before. Grandmas, grandpas, this is your time. This is the time for what God has invested and sown and given you. It's a time to wage a good warfare. So what, however the Lord has you do it, just give yourself to it. And be excited, be confident, be bold, be brave about it, knowing that no matter what anybody else thinks, that it's something's happening in the spirit. You're working and you're doing things in the spirit, whether anybody knows it or not. I don't care if you're in a nursing home.
Yeah. Well, we have to understand that people have, you know, Jesus, in a very kind, you know, and gentle way, in the story in Luke where he says, Martha, Martha, and he says her name twice because it was like an endearing way of getting like, her attention.
Like Valor. Mom, Mom, Dad,
yeah.
Dad.
Mama, Dad, Dad, yeah. Say it twice makes it better. But he says, Martha, Martha. And we got to understand that there's a lot of people in the church who are busy doing things, but that doesn't mean they're in the game.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, you can be doing stuff for your own selfish ambition. Okay.
Help us, Lord.
Or you can be doing stuff out of your lack of confidence that Jesus loves you, like Martha was. He said, you're distracted.
Uh-huh.
You're worried about many things. And even in that passage there in Luke, she said, do you not even care? She was asking, she was questioning whether or not Jesus even cared about her and what she was doing. Well, listen, Martha, you were doing your own thing. Jesus said the one thing that's needed in this moment right now is my Mary peeps, the mm-hmm. Mary posture, being at my feet, getting instruction from the head. Listen, you as a body member, you are no good if you are disconnected from your head. Yeah. I don't care how good a serving you are, what kind of hospitality you're exhibiting, you're doing your own thing. Remember Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. And they said, what? We did all these things in your name. People were, quote, ministered to in your name. But Jesus said, you did all that disconnected from me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And if you're not getting your impulses, if you're not getting your instructions, if you're not getting your activities directly from the head or from the vine,
yeah.
you are out here doing stuff that may be good, but it's not the mandate. Listen, we talked about put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. All right, so if you're on a team, but you're doing your own thing, let's say you're on a basketball team and you're just dribbling the ball at, you know, doing whatever you want. You're just out there. It's just your show. Well, listen, you're going to mess up the team, okay? Yeah. You got to get in your place, get under the coach, and get real-time instruction on the plays that are happening right now. Listen, we are in, and I think you already said this, but we're in kind of a fast track of events. There is stuff coming down the pipe. Yeah, accelerated events here. There is stuff coming at us that we need real-time instructions from the king. And for a minute, it may be a little bit of, you may experience some withdrawal symptoms as you pull away from what you're used to doing and getting in your rank. Remember David's mighty men, what was said about them? They knew their rank. It wasn't that they had just military prowess. They had talent and ability. They were well-trained, but all that training would have been nothing if they didn't know their place in the army, if they didn't know where they were to stand, where they were to be stationed, if they were not postured to have the ear to hear the command from the general. All of their military training would have been for naught. Okay, Martha, back to that real quick. Martha was a great person. I'm sure she was great at hospitality. She was probably a good cook. Everybody probably loved being at her house. They were at her house. People probably really enjoyed being there. But in the moment, listen, when the King of Kings is advancing a particular mandate and assignment, it's not time to be up doing what you're comfortable doing. You've got to be in a position where you can hear. Listen, if we don't get the instructions that we need from the king right now, everything that you thought you would be doing, everything you thought you were comfortable doing, all that's going to be shaken anyways, folks. We need the kingdom's advancement right now. It's go time.
Yeah.
It's not play time. Everything's going to be shaken. Mm-hmm. And either we're going to pull through and see the Lord's mission and mandate accomplished, or we're going to sit by passively and things are still going to be shaken. Listen, we are more than overcomers. And if things are going to change a bit, let's have them change as we advance victory. Not things change because the enemy came in and we passively allowed him to wreak havoc. So we're going to give you some biblical strategies and motivation right now to, number one, get in the game. Well, what is the game? I feel like, love, we've been on repeat now for several years.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful that, you know, we heard, praise God. He helped us with that, by the way. Okay, the Holy Ghost helped us to hear.
He did.
Remember that verse where it says the Holy Ghost, he's helping us both to will and to do.
Yeah.
We didn't just come by this because we're
super great.
Super great or whatever. The Holy Ghost helped us get it. But I'm telling you right now, what is the game? The game right now is prayer.
Yeah.
The posture that the body of Christ needs to be in right now is the posture of prayer. Being sober, being vigilant. Being sober, being vigilant. Now, we're not talking about, sober versus intoxication in terms of the world. Now, listen, if you're an alcoholic, you need to be delivered. But we're talking about is not being intoxicated on the lust of the flesh, the king's delicacies. Listen, we are in crunch time. You can look at the activities in the nation, and you can see that there is a antichrist agenda being advanced very militantly, okay? And the Bible says you need to be sober, meaning you need to have control of your mental faculties. I wrote a partner letter for last month, and the Lord encouraged me to challenge all of our partners. By the way, if you want to get on that mailing list, we'd love to have you, love to share what the Lord is doing in us, and we covet your prayers. But send us an email at hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Give us your email, and we'll put you on that list where you can get those updates, our partner updates. But the Lord was encouraging me to not be caught up in all of the noise. Listen, there's a lot of noise. You need to prioritize the need to know things. You can't be intoxicated. You can't be mentally drunk on all this stuff that's coming at you. Some of it's trying to lull you. Mm-hmm. Some of it's trying to distract you. Some of it's trying to deceive you. Some of it's trying to just cause you to, you know, get your mind on things that you don't need to be putting your mind on. You need to prioritize the need to know things. We're telling you right now. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now that you need to get in the game. And the game right now is prayer.
Yeah.
There's a spirit of prayer being poured out on the body. Remember what Jesus said, stay up with me. Come on, 1 hour.
Watch and pray.
Watch and pray.
Yeah.
Stay with me. Stay with who? Stay with the head. Stay with who? Stay with the king. Stay with who? Stay with the general of heaven's armies. And he said, listen, if you have to close your eyes, I want you to close your eyes. Get this in your spirit. What did he say? Stay with me in prayer. That's what he said. Stay with me in prayer. That's what Jesus said. Get that in your spirit, friend. Stay with me in prayer. That's what he said. And so I, like I said, I feel like we've been on repeat, but listen, we're getting you, the body of Christ, equipped with strategies to where you can turn your city upside down.
Yeah.
All right, back to you, love.
Well, watch and pray. I know a lot of us are watching right now, seeing what's going on out there. But I think one thing we have to be cautious of is not watch and get mad, get angry.
Right, right.
I mean, you do need to have that righteous indignation at what the enemy is doing to people, and that can spur us on to prayer.
Well, tell them what you told me this morning on the
weigh-in. Sister Billy, I was just so privileged to be out at Prayer Mountain again yesterday. And she started off the prayer meeting talking about, you know, observing what's going on, but not nursing anger. I thought, whoa, nursing anger. I think I've experienced a little bit of that lately. Not nursing anger because I think that's the words that she used, because if you do that, it's going to turn into wrath. And I mean, that's really just carnal. There's nothing spiritual about it. And it, you know, it just kind of just messes up the atmosphere and gets people all worked up in the flesh, but there's no spiritual power there. And really it's that'll dull your sword. That'll dull your edge. And we got to be sharp. We got to be sharp to hear how to pray during this time. So when you're watching or hearing these things, and yes, it does make you angry. But go in the spirit with that. And allow the Holy Spirit to bring up some scriptures and some words. And as you see stuff unfold in the news, address it. Watch and pray. There's different kinds of prayer. Address it in the spirit. You know, if you find yourself talking to the news media, that's a good thing. Just turn that around and address it in the spirit. Don't think that it's just silly, because it's really working. Your prayers have power. The fervent, earnest, effectual prayer a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available. Dynamite. Dunamis. Dynamite. Dynamic in its working. Power goes out from you.
If you don't believe that, you're going to get angry and you're going to throw stuff at the TV.
Yeah.
And you're going to say things to people on Facebook or Twitter or Parler or MeWe or wherever, you know, people are going now. You're going to say things that you don't need to be saying. I started with 1 Timothy chapter 2, and this I want to throw this in there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, it says, I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere. But then it says this, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting.
Well, there it is.
There it is. There it is. No, but listen, it's really easy right now to be moved by what you see.
Yeah.
Okay? And don't be deceived, friend, that wrath that you're nursing or that offense that you're nursing, it's not from the Lord. Listen, it doesn't matter what's going on in the natural.
Yeah.
There's an Antichrist agenda, but we have the end of the story.
We do. We win.
But see, part of what he's doing to enforce victory is he's working through his body.
Yes.
But if his body is disconnected, you are AWOL.
Mm-hmm.
You are absent from the game.
Yep.
You're sidelined because you are so offended at what's going on. You are spitting mad at everybody, everything. Listen, the parties are not your problem. The individual is not your problem. The Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. Listen, they have overstepped the enforcement of their defeat. They are trying to deceive people to gain position and a posturing in people's lives and in world of events. Listen, what's going on is definitely unprecedented, but it wasn't unforeseen. But we have the victory. But if we're offended, if we're full of, you know, we've nursed anger, there's nothing wrong, like, what you're saying with that?
Yeah.
Righteous indignation. We don't like what's going on in a lot of areas and in a lot of things being said, being done. You know, we're going to defend private property. You know, we're going to stand up for things that are right, honest, and truthful. You know, we're going to meditate on those things. We're going to, in the natural, we're going to walk towards protecting and honoring those things. But listen, if we allow the healthy anger, the anger that needs to motivate you to action, if you nurse it, though, and allow the enemy to get in there, and you begin to partner with him in offense, you are sidelined now.
Mm-hmm.
And you are no good for the King of Kings, for the kingdom. You're no good for your family. Listen, if you're in offense, you are in delusion.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have a sober mind, or you will not hear the Holy Ghost when he says, move now, because you are so belligerent.
Yeah.
You are like, you are intoxicated now on offense and wrath. You are a fool. Listen, you want to mess someone up? Get them so angry that the practical things they're tripping over. They're fumbling and bumbling over themselves. You know, I mean, you know, you can pull up a YouTube video, okay, and watch somebody get in a fight and look at the person that is so angry. Like, they're beyond anger. I mean, they are literally, they are drunk with rage. And see how well they do in that fight. See how well they advance. They are not hitting on target. They're fumbling over themselves. They're literally so angry. Mm-hmm. They're locked up. They can't move. That should not be you in the spiritual sense.
Yeah.
Your soul needs to be, you need to breathe a little bit. Okay? We are taking up the fight in the spirit realm.
Yeah. You know, you might ask the Lord, after you pray about something, you know, Lord, I want to see, I just help me out here. I want to see how that prayer worked. If maybe you've struggled yielding to prayer because it feels like you're not really doing anything. A lot of people think like that. They think, what's prayer going to do? You know, just uttering things under my breath as I'm going about my day. What does that do? Because the enemy wants you to think it's powerless. But maybe you might need to just say, Lord, you know, I'm going to take this up in prayer. I usually get angry. I usually cuss at the TV. You know, I usually throw things. But maybe you might say, you know what? I'm not going to go there. I'm going to pray. I'm going to say two words in prayer. I'm going to speak in tongues over this. And then, Lord, I just want you, I ask you to show me how it worked, what it did, you know? And I know we may not be able to do everything like that right away, but the Holy Ghost is an encourager. And he can show you, he can, and this is happening for us. We're praying for things, but, you know, we're seeing, like, very quickly our prayers being answered, and, you know, in a, at a level and a rate, a speed, I guess, that I've never experienced before. You know, I'm sure a lot of people have, but boy, that's encouraging. And you need that. You need to see that the fruit of your labor, you know, that it's not in vain. You're not just speaking in tongues in vain. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's working.
It's working. It's going to work.
You know, I'll just kind of share some of our recent prayer victories. Since we started praying more as a church, and this is just huge for us, we've seen two people, and maybe more. I mean, you know, you don't always find out what's happened until you get to heaven sometimes. So at least two people delivered from drug addiction without any rehab. And at first I was like, I was a little like, wait a second. I think you got to have like help to get free of that kind of stuff. You know, when I heard these testimonies, I was like, I don't know. I mean, is that like legit? Are you psyching yourself out? You think you're actually free and you're not? I mean, hello. And the Lord's like, wait, what do you think? You've been praying. And it was like, oh, wow. I didn't even see that. Two people were delivered without, I mean, just supernaturally on their own. I don't think any, I don't know if they had withdrawals or not. By the Spirit, delivered from drug addiction. No rehab. And that's amazing. I mean, that's just from a local church family doing its part in prayer. Grandmas and grandpas, little kids praying.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And so I say that to give you encouragement. Don't go the anger route. Like Pastor was saying, Pastor Justin was saying, you know, it's just like, I think the proverb somewhere, a madman brandishing swords, you know, it's like, it's not doing any good. Get in the Spirit where you can actually do some damage to the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
Tear down some strongholds. Hallelujah. We've gotten into times of prayer and like, you know, we get a little crazy because we're just trying to follow the Spirit. I feel like I start pulling things. I'm like, what's happening? Like I'm pulling up roots in the Spirit. Seeds that the devil tried to sow in this country, being uprooted in the Spirit. The Lord told Jeremiah, I have appointed you, I've called you to build up and to tear down. And that wasn't because Jeremiah was a great construction worker, an engineer. No, he was a prayer. And he did it all in the Spirit. Hallelujah. He went into that spiritual place where the enemy couldn't touch him and tore up everything the devil tried to build. Hallelujah. You got some?
Yeah. Let me read just a couple things here since we mentioned it. Listen to this in Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirs up discord, but one slow to anger calms strife. Well, that would be a solution.
Oh yeah, right
to
now.
To the stuff going on right now, if people would realize that what's going on is that the strategy of the devil has been to move people from just being upset or disappointed, whether actual or perceived, about things going on, to go from just motivation to see solutions to just straight up rage and wrath. Mm-hmm. And stupid stuff is being done all in the name of change. Well, the Bible has already condemned so much of what's going on. Listen, don't join in with the mob. Yeah. And I'm talking about on a spiritual level. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying there aren't things that need to be communicated about, things that need to be evaluated, but the means doesn't justify the end, or the end doesn't justify the means necessarily. So listen, we need to make sure as a believer, if we're going to do battle against the appropriate enemy, you can't get sucked into all the rage.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
But so you're like, okay, what do I do?
So where can we turn?
Yeah, what can we do?
What can we do?
You're feeling that.
That's why they want to get mad.
You're like that player on the sideline whose parents have been talking to the coach who's like, put my kid in the game. Why don't you let my kid play? And you're like, come on, coach, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And so we gotta have our spiritual tools in place. We've gotta have instruction, wisdom, the know-how. How to get in there and work with the Lord. You know, the scripture says he ever lives to make intercession. This is like his job right now. This is his work in heaven, is the intercession. And so when we go to work with him. And it's so fun because sometimes you don't know where he's going to take you. He's going to take you up into somebody's house, delivering them from drugs, or he's going to maybe take you to a riot and have you speaking and just breathing over peace and everybody just putting their weapons down. You know, I mean, do you believe that God can use you like that? Because, see, here's the thing. You might be praying by yourself, but you don't know that so-and-so over in New Zealand or England or Australia is praying this at the same time in the spirit, and the Lord's got the prayer of agreement going. Two people working on the same thing. Three, four, five people working on the same thing when you just yield. He's got you in some government office with the heads of the leaders working in there, helping to quiet the lies, to silence the lies and bring out the truth so the decisions can be made that need to be made. I mean, he's taken us all over the world in prayer during this time, these accelerated times. And so, did you have anything on that?
Nope.
Well, I think I just flipped this morning to this chapter in this book. We talked about this last time, I think, didn't we? The Art of Intercession. Yeah. It's the one that it's got the planet Earth on it. I think this is a 1980 edition. This is the one you want to get, 1981. And so good, so good. Talks about the interceding body, interceding for your nation. Hello, chapter 27 right here. Interceding for your nation. Brother Kenneth Hagin, powerful man of prayer, a prophet, a true prophet in his day. Anyway, I'm just going to read this to y'all. And I mean, wow, it just speaks so clearly of what we're in the middle of. Interceding for your nation. After the final service of our camp meeting 1979, some of the speakers and others went up to Kenneth Hagin Jr.'s hotel suite for sandwiches. As we were talking about the things of God, the Spirit of God kept moving on me. He says, actually, only three times in my life has the Spirit moved on me in such a measure. I said to the others, let's pray. The Spirit of God keeps moving on me. We prayed. I think that's great because everybody was up there for sandwiches, but it's time to pray. Right there, there's a good Mary Martha illustration.
That's good.
We prayed. By the Spirit, I ministered to each one present. Then I was caught up in the spirit of prayer and intercession. And for lack of a better term, I was lost in the Spirit. I was not unconscious, but I was more conscious of spiritual things. Spiritual things were more real than the natural. I sat with my eyes shut, praying in tongues for what proved to be several hours. It was just after midnight when we started praying. When it was all over and I opened my eyes, it was after 4 a.m. Yet it seemed as if we had only been praying for 10 or 15 minutes. The Lord spoke to me. Among other things, he gave me instructions concerning our prayer and healing school. And I saw something. I saw three things coming up out of the Atlantic Ocean. They looked like three giant black frogs as large as whales. One was in midair. The other two had just stuck their heads up out of the water from the east. I had seen something similar 9 years before. Jesus said to me, you saw the same thing in 1970. I told you then exactly what they were, but you didn't do what you should have done about it. I told you back in 1970 to pray for the leaders of the nation. What happened, and it was Watergate, isn't all the fault of the man who was then president. And check this out. I'm going to hold the Christians of this nation responsible. You are the ones who allowed what happened to your nation. If you had prayed, it never would have happened. I showed you what was about to happen. Go back and check. Later, I went back and checked what the Lord had said to me in 1970 from tapes and manuscripts of a special meeting we held in October. Jesus said to me, he continued, back in 1970, you saw three similar dark objects come out of the Atlantic and leapfrog all the way across the land. If you and the Christians had done what you should have done, none of those things would have happened to your nation. You would not have had the riots. Hello. You would not have had the political disturbances. Your president would not have made the mistakes he made. In fact, I'm holding the church responsible for his mistakes. I began to weep and cry, oh God. Yes, he said, I'm holding you and the church responsible. Then he said, when you tell that to some of the Christians, they will laugh. But when they stand before my judgment seat and they receive the condemnation rather than the man who was then president, they won't laugh. If Christians had done what I told them to do in the Bible, if they had prayed for the leaders of their nation, they would have kept the evil spirits from operating. Then he continued, similar things, not the same things, but similar things are about to happen again. If you do not pray, they will happen. I'm not going to hold the president responsible for the nation. I'm going to hold the Christians of the nation responsible. Now let me explain something. You have to know how to interpret these things. This is Brother Hagin. I saw those three creatures come up out of the Atlantic Ocean, but that doesn't mean they rise out of the ocean. From Genesis to Revelation, seas and waters refer to a multitude of people. Out of the multitude of people, these things will rise up. Sinners are dominated by the devil there in his kingdom. Jesus said, there will arise unless the Christians pray, not for the same purpose that the... Oh, I'm sorry. There, just Jesus said, there will arise unless the Christians pray, not for the same purpose that the riots came, but there will be riots, tumults, and disturbances all across the nation. Second, something is about to happen to the president that should not happen and will not happen if you will pray. Third, something is about to happen again that will bring further trouble in the economic scene, the financial structure. But you can stop all three. Woo! I mean, that's why we got to get excited and get in the game, because we can stop and are stopping all three. The economic, the riots, and things happening to our president. Notice it's the same three categories that we're seeing today in the news. Rioting, attacks against the president, mostly attacks against the president, and then the economy. See how the enemy's working. But you can stop all three. You can stop the upheaval in the social structure. You can stop the upheaval and the activity of the devil in the political scene. So it's the social scene, the political scene, and you can stop the devil from disrupting the financial scene of your nation. You can change all three through intercessory prayer. Hallelujah. So that's what we felt like we needed to minister this morning. And there's many ways, but two of the ways that that's happening is interceding by taking authority over what the devil's doing, but also for an awakening. So we take our authority over the works of darkness, and then we begin to contend and travail and cry out for an awakening. And that's how the Lord and the Holy Spirit are working through intercessory prayer right now, through the body in our nation. It's really interesting because, you know, you might be on one side, you might find yourself really addressing the enemy in the spirit. There's a lot of antichrist spirit stirred up right now against the church, persecution. And so you might find yourself in the spirit just addressing those things, silencing lying tongues. And then there's also people that need to be awakened. See, this is the age of grace. We're still in the age of grace. There's still mercy, abundant mercy available to those wicked, evil people that are making us mad. You know, people's hearts can still be turned. People can still repent.
That's good.
Yeah.
Are we praying in that direction?
Yeah.
Good camera here.
Yeah.
Are we praying in that direction? Hmm. Listen, it says here, I'm going to just read really quick from this book by John A. McMillan, The Authority of the Believer. And it says here that, why then is there not more manifest progress? Because a head is wholly dependent upon its body for the carrying out of its plan. All the members of the body must be subservient, that through their coordinated ministry may be accomplished what is purposed. The Lord Jesus, head over all things to the church, which is his body, is hindered in his mighty plans and working because his body has failed to appreciate the deep meaning of his exaltation and to respond to the gracious impulses which he is constantly sending for its quickening.
Impulses.
So what we're wanting to challenge and encourage you with today is that, look, it is not just going to hell in a handbasket. There is a kingdom plan. In fact, the Lord said this, that there is still a spiritual work yet to be done before his return.
Yeah.
And Jesus the head, is trying to work that plan through his body. Listen, this is why we're saying get in the game. Well, how are you going to get in the game? You're going to stay up with him. How are you going to stay up with him? You're going to stay up with him in prayer. He's going to give you instruction, wisdom, insight, and then you're going to take that and you're going to advance it through the mechanism of prayer. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
There are things happening in the nation right now that just because we see these things doesn't mean that's the ultimate end. There is opportunity for the Lord to show himself mighty. Specifically, we want to get the strategy we need to enforce victory over the devil so we can stop the plans of the enemy. Remember in Daniel chapter 7 verse 25, and it's talking about how the enemy is using pompous words, pompous strategies against the Most High and the saints of the Most High in order to wear out the saints or wear out the body. Why? So that he can change times and seasons. Listen, friend. The enemy has to get you out of the way. He's got to get you on the couch, lulled, dulled, just intoxicated on chips and candy and social media and selfish ambition and your stinking pity party, okay? How you got it so bad, right? Mm-hmm. He's got to get you out of the way. And then what he's going to do once he gets the body in a position where the body is no longer an oppositional force, then he's going to attempt to change times and season. Listen, friend, the Lord has a spiritual work to be done. Now, Marin and I, we are firm believers that it is God's will that there be an awakening sweep across not only the United States, but the nations. What's an awakening going to do? It's going to bring great, deep root level reformation.
Yeah.
Listen, but that time and season can be changed if the body gets lulled or positioned on the bench, AWOL, and is not connected with the head and advancing, forcefully advancing God's will in prayer. Mm-hmm. Listen, it does not matter what the enemy is saying is going to happen or will happen on the media. The media is the mouthpiece of Leviathan, the systematic strategy of delusion. The media is the mouthpiece of the false prophet. The media will tell you this, this, this. Listen, that's a pompous strategy, and it's trying to wear out the body of Christ in the earth in order to stop God's plans. Remember, the head is not going to work independently of the body. He has chosen to work through his body in the earth. Thessalonians tells us that the body of Christ is a restraining force because of the Holy Ghost is present within us. And as long as that restraint is still in the earth, then we have the opportunity to accomplish the will of the Father in heaven.
Is it 1 minute left?
No.
Oh, cool. Good.
Jump in there.
I feel like, I don't know if I'm picking up on this, that somebody, people maybe tuning in, watching, you're not in a company of people or a church that really supports prayer. And so that's why you feel sidelined. And you feel like you've tried, but it's been rejected. Well, the worst thing to do is to stay on the side and, you know, sit down and cry about it. And as easy and tempting as that is, because it feels like nobody wants it and nobody's accepting it, you got to take the undercover route, which is really what every prayer has had to do from the beginning, you know. And that is, you got to pray anyway. And if you have to invite, you know, some people to join you in your home to actually just for a prayer meeting. And I mean, that doesn't mean you have to start a church. The Lord may have you stay in that church and pray from your home or pray quietly in the meetings. I was recently told about a lady that went to a church and she's like, boy, this church is dead, you know, but the Lord called her there. And she's like, man, we need some prayers in this church. And
by the way, what constitutes a dead church?
What is that?
A lot of people think, oh, this church is alive because they get a lot of like flashy programs.
Oh.
You can have programs. You can have flashy this. You can have flashy that. You can have a lot of hype. You can have a lot of energy and still be a dead church. Yep. A dead church is a church that doesn't stay up with the head.
Yes.
A dead church is a church that is not staying up with the head. You're AWOL. You're disconnected. I don't care how church, you know, how marketed the church is. It doesn't matter how many people are there. listen, a long time ago, we realized, hallelujah, the Lord got revelation to the body of Christ, that numbers did not prove success. Connection to the head and how tightly knitted and joined to the head, that was the measure of success. The tighter and more knit you were to the impulses of the King of Kings, that was a successful ministry.
That's good.
And Brenda's being very kind and very gracious. But listen, if like Leonard Ravenhill said, if you're not praying, you're playing. Now, that doesn't mean that it's just 24/7 prayer vigils and all this kind of stuff. But we're talking about an alive, an active, a vibrant, a prioritized, and an emphasized prayer element to your church. And you'd be surprised how much of the church growth movement pushed prayer out the back door. Okay? And so we would encourage you to get involved with a ministry that has a fiery, vibrant emphasis on prayer, intercession, because that's what Jesus said. He didn't stay up with me with children's ministry, although children's ministry is good. Don't misunderstand me. He didn't say, stay up with me 1 hour and build your worship team, although you need great worship. Okay? It's imperative to have praise and worship. But you got to understand the priority that Jesus put on ministry. He's the head of the church. He's building his body. And so make sure you're connected. And if you're listening to this podcast and you've been a listener and a follower of the Grace for This City podcast, then you probably know that our ministry emphasizes prayer. But you may know some people that are looking for a company where it's fiery, where it's red hot. And if you can't help them get to something in the area that you're in, the location that you're in, the region you're in, connect them to a ministry then. Give them the resources. Pass them along this particular podcast, or you know, encourage them to get connected with a ministry that is not AWOL. You can have a building, a sign, you can have programs, and still be AWOL. Mm-hmm. So get in the game, folks.
Yeah. And if, you know, if the Lord hasn't called you to change churches, that's because apparently there's some hope and he needs you to pray. You might be the one catalyst that he has left in that spot. And that's what I was going to say, is I recently heard a story about a lady who was called to a church. It was dead and the Lord called her there, and
prayer will raise the dead.
Yeah, she sat in the back row and just prayed, and people started coming and the whole church was revolutionized. This was like 30, 40, I guess, years ago. I mean, it's still a thriving church built on prayer and intercession. And I mean, there may have been others praying too, but definitely her. She was able to watch the Lord just answer her prayers in front of her and just totally turn the tide of the church, the direction. And so maybe you don't have that company around you yet.
In the name of Jesus, we decree it right now. You will find your company.
Hallelujah.
You are being called. Listen, you are being called off the sidelines and into the game. Listen, you're being called out of being unaware of what's going on spiritually. You're being invited to get right in the middle of the end time plan that is unfolding. It is being revealed right before our very eyes, friend. Listen, we are in an amazing time. This was the reason you were born.
Yeah.
This was, you know, in John 4, Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing this kingdom reality, this revelation that Jesus reveals to us. Listen, he puts you in your work. You didn't choose your work. Mm-hmm. He said, I called you to sow, or I called you to reap. And in that passage there, Jesus has determined with the Father where you would labor. And listen, he called you here. He's placed you. He's ordained you. You are equipped. You have on the inside of you what you need to be alive right now to face these things and to be an overcomer in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. All for his glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. All for his glory.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we bring the podcast to a close today, we thank you so much for tuning in. Brenda, what's a closing thought to some of the things that we have said? You know, we've talked about get off the sidelines, get into the game. Okay, Jesus said, stay up with me in prayer. We've encouraged people to find a company. It's going to be important. In fact, I would say it's imperative that you get with the company. No lone rangers, folks.
Yeah. I think just start right now when you turn this off, pray in the spirit. As you go to the restroom, as you go make some lunch, as you shakarabra, kalamateko, eshtebreko, driving in the car, kolebreveshe.
Yeah.
And just allow that to tune your spirit into the next step, into what can I do, into just calming your spirit. If you've been angry, praying in the spirit can calm your spirit. And it also will increase your prayer language if you just yield to it, you know. And I don't mean that you have to stop everything. Just start, you know. If you're sitting in the rocking chair, if you're sitting on the couch, just lean your head back and start praying in the spirit. And just go inside to get the strategy and the plan for what is my place, even if it's just for the rest of the day, that you would stay plugged in with him and accomplish your prayer assignment today.
All right. Well, we're out of time on the podcast today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hey, listen, you've been listening to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you scriptural strategies and motivation to get out there and work for your king. Hallelujah. Now, listen, get in the game, my friend. Get off the sideline and get in the game. What's the game? Jesus said, stay up with me. How do you stay up with him? Stay up with him in prayer. Yep. Hallelujah. Hey, we're believing with you and for you. We're here for you. How can we pray for you? Call us 870-741-9099. Leave a message. We'll get right back with you. Listen, we want to stand in agreement with you. So whatever you need, reach out to us, friend. We'll pray with you. We'd love to pray for you. We're with you. You're with us. We're in this together. We're in it to win it. Hallelujah. So this is Grace for This City podcast. Myrna, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Hey. We are going to have you back.
Cool. Thanks.
Praise the Lord. All right. Until next time, my friend, be blessed. Get out there and get it done.